This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending the 21st of July, 2017. Thought I'd start off this week looking at some of the prices of the metals and commodities for year to date. This is from Bob Johnson via Gold Sheet Mail, which I've subscribed to for years. Thank you, Bob. Aluminum is up about 11% for the year. Cobalt is up 80% for the year. Copper, 9%. Lead is up 11% for the year. Molybdenum is up 8.5%. Nickel is off about 4.5%. Tin off about 4%. And zinc is up about 7.5%. Gold for the year is up 9%. Palladium is up 24% year to date. Platinum is up 3.6% year to date. Silver rounded up to 4%. And the gold-silver ratio is up 4.9%. As far as crude oil, off 15%, heating oil off 12%, natural gas down 21%, and gasoline off 8.5%. First story comes from Bloomberg. Debt ceiling concerns emerge in the T-bill market. When it comes to the debt ceiling, short-term investors aren't waiting for Secretary Steven Mnuchin to inform Congress of the exact date the U.S. will run out of cash. Traders are willing to pay more for bills maturing after October 19th to avoid being caught holding securities vulnerable to a technical default, in line with the Congressional Budget Office forecasts that predict the federal government will hit the debt ceiling around early to mid-October. Moving quickly to the real estate market, this comes from down under. The Sunday Morning Herald sends a snapshot. 1 million homes left empty across Australia. Australia has 200,000 more homes sitting empty than it had a decade ago. New figures show, despite the country's grappling with a housing supply shortage that is pushing the cost of first home beyond many of its residents. The figures from the 2016 census have been described as, quote, cruel and immoral, unquote, by leading UNSW urban policy expert Hal Paulson, who has warned the government, must act to stem the growth in unoccupied housing. The article goes on to say there's a growing realization that our housing market is not working well. It does not just create a problem for people on low incomes. It also hurts spending in the economy when housing is overvalued. The next article is from Wolf Richter, who I often quote, are these conglomerates a black swan in China? Bank of America suddenly pulled back from doing business with HNA Group, a privately held Chinese conglomerate that has been on the forefront of highly leveraged, opaque Chinese conglomerates out on a mind-boggling debt-funded acquisition binge around the world. Quote, we simply don't know what we don't know and are not prepared to take the risk, end quote, Bank of America president for Asia Pacific, Matthew Koder, wrote in an internet email dated the 28th of June and was leaked to the New York Times. Given the importance of maintaining rigorous client selection standards, we have decided not to be involved with transactions with HNA Group at this point in time. So we see a little further unraveling in the Chinese markets. And of course, even Bank of America is backing away, as I just read. I have to throw this one in here, another Bloomberg article. Greece approved for a $1.8 billion conditional loan from the IMF. I mean, no one seems to get it except people outside the mainstream, that you just cannot create wealth by borrowing more. And yet, the poor Greek people are suffering. The International Monetary Fund agreed to a new conditional bailout for Greece, ending 2 years of speculation on whether it would join another rescue and giving the seal of approval demanded by many of the country's euro area creditors. The Washington-based fund said Thursday its executive board approved, quote-unquote, in principle, a new loan worth $1.8 billion. The disbursement of funds is contingent on Eurozone countries providing debt relief to Greece. Things get more interesting. Coming back to the real estate market, this is from Zero Hedge. Purchases of U.S. real estate by foreigners hit all-time high in 2016. In a testament to Chinese oligarchs, criminals, money launderers, and pretty much anyone who is desperate to park their cash as far away from the mainland as possible, purchases of U.S. real estate by foreign buyers surged to an all-time high in 2016, according to data from the National Association of Realtors via CNBC. Foreign purchases of U.S. real estate surged to the highest level ever in terms of number of homes sold and dollar volumes last year, with Chinese buyers leading the pack, followed by buyers from Canada, the United Kingdom, Mexico, Mexico, and India. Meanwhile, Russian buyers made up barely 1% of the purchases. The next one is from CNBC. Wall Street's Dean Evaluation says digital currencies are replacing gold. Mike Santelli spoke with Damandarin in an exclusive interview for CNBC, and he said, and I quote, "All currency is based on trust. If you don't trust paper currencies, historically what you've done is dumped your paper currencies and you bought gold," end quote. He says cryptocurrencies have taken the role of gold, at least for younger investors, because they don't trust paper currencies. Digital currency prices are surging this year, with the Ethereum cryptocurrency up more than 2,400% year to date, and Bitcoin is up about 140%, according to CoinDesk. This goes into the future. I mentioned the movie Obsolete a while back. I think everyone that has time should watch that movie. This is, again, from Zero Hedge. Walmart replaces more than 4,000 employees with machines. And get used to it, folks. This is going to become, this will accelerate over time. Most of the hard manufacturing of complex machines, such as an automobile, is almost entirely done in a robotic manner. There's very little human interaction on many of the things that we know and love in this technological world, but it displaces a human being along the way. And this is becoming a real problem. And we've discussed that in the past, and I'm sure I'll address it more in these updates. The headline and article state that Walmart replaced more than 4,000 employees with machines. It also said that the Cash 360 machines we put in some of our back offices have eliminated jobs. Neither of these statements are the case. When we went through the back office transformation last year, we shifted positions and labor hours to the sales floor. Every associate who previously held a back office position was offered a chance to stay with the company in a customer-facing role. Almost all of them chose to stay, and many moved to supervisor or department manager positions. The distinction here is important, especially given that bringing associates closer to customers is a key component of the business strategy we have outlined. So the story explains that Walmart is replacing some of its non-customer-facing workers with robots like bookkeepers who are responsible for counting and storing the store's cash supply. So we'll see how this works out, but I'll restate what I stated earlier. It looks like I was incorrect, but overall, there has been a great replacement of the human labor force by machines. They're more efficient. They don't have unions. They don't take coffee breaks. They don't need vacations, and they don't need pensions. The next story is from DW.com. And regardless where you are politically, I think the facts speak for themselves. Decaying infrastructure taking a toll on America. America's infrastructure is in a state of crisis. Roads and trains are old, dangerous, and cost the country billions of dollars in economic growth. Trump wants to repair damages, but he's at the mercy of investors. The summer of hell began for New Yorkers last Monday. Beginning at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, people hurried home from work, clogging Midtown Manhattan's Pennsylvania Station. Over 600,000 people trek to Manhattan daily from faraway places like New Jersey and Long Island, entering the city via Penn Station. Most people transit through Penn Station. More people transit through Penn Station than all three of New York's airports, JFK, LaGuardia, and Newark. Yet on Monday, many tracks were shut down for the summer so the city can begin tackling urgently needed repairs. And closing out the precious metals, this is from CNBC. It's through Reuters, actually. Gold on track for biggest gain in 5 weeks. Gold rose on Friday and was on track for its best week in 5 weeks as the dollar softened on political turbulence in the United States, boosting bullion's safe haven appeal. Spot gold was up 0.65% to $1,254 per ounce, climbed about 2% for the week, while U.S. gold futures rose 80 cents to settle at about the same price. We have political turmoil in the U.S., which has driven the dollar lower. This week's sentiment has supported gold, according to analyst Jens Peterson. Gold is often seen as an alternative investment during times of geopolitical and financial uncertainty, gaining alongside bond yields and the Japanese yen. And on the silver side, I have to go back a week further, but the exclusive, this is from Reuters, ICE selected to run the LBMA silver auction. The Intercontinental Exchange was confirmed on Friday. This was a week ago. Friday is a new operator of London Bullion Market Association Silver Benchmark, a race to provide the auction process that sets a benchmark for which the LBMA owns the intellectual property rights, narrowed down to two providers, ICE One. For silver, ICE offers a model with clearing, while the LME proposed a flexible auction process. Ross Norman, chief executive of bullion dealers Sharp Pixley, described IBA as a solid and safe choice. They've demonstrated that they can manage the job well, Norman said. I've been asked about this. I have no further comment. I just want to see some more trading before I come to any conclusions. That will wrap it up for this week's Weekly Perspective.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.